Well, tonight, Brother Rodriguez is going to come preach for us here in just a moment. And he's the guidance counselor over at the high school, and he also assists Brother Bird over there. So, Brother, if you'll come on and preach to us.
Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here. I don't take this lightly. Earlier in the week, Pastor Parsons came up to me and he said, "Would you preach on Sunday night?" And I thought it was an honor that he would think of me. And so it is an honor to be here. In 1999, I visited this place. And of course, Mickey Carter was the pastor. I came with my wife. we were married just a few years, and we came out here to visit a relative, actually a student that was in college here. And we came to go to Disney World. I had just graduated from Bible college, and we came out this way. I'd never been to Florida. And after the vacation was over, we had came and visited the church and everything. I can remember my telling my wife, "You know, nice place, but I'll never live here. I'd never serve here. I don't see myself in Florida." And she kind of laughed and said, "Okay, you know, I looked around. The weather was different than I was used to." And I said, "I don't see myself here. I could never last here." And boy, never tell God what you're going to do. Amen. And I learned that fast. I want to let you know it is my son's 21st birthday today. Amen. And Raymond. So Raymond Jr., the millennial baby of my four. And it's his 21st, and so it's a blessing to have all my kids and my children here together. It's kind of awkward, not awkward, but it's a little unusual. I have my church in front of me, and I have my family here, and I have my boss here, too. Where are you, Brother Bert? All right, but I have my boss here, too, so, and I'm surrounded by my coworkers, so it is a blessing for me. I sure appreciate you folks. You've been good to us. And it's fun serving the Lord, isn't it? It's fun serving God. And I'll be honest with you, I never in my wildest dreams did I think that Pastor Parsons would allow me to stand up here. And I sure appreciate him. I love my pastor, amen? And I love Pastor Parsons. He's been good to us. And I pray for him. I love him. And he's been a blessing. All right, let's get into it. 2 Kings chapter 22, if you would please. 2 Kings chapter 22. And I'm going to speak on a message. It's not a great theological message, just a kind of a challenge for us this evening, but I believe this is exactly what God would have us to hear tonight. And as we pray, I'll get started in just a moment, but I'm going to ask everybody, it's amazing, Brother Bert, you picked that song, "Open My Heart, Lord." And that was kind of the thought behind the message, opening our heart. You know, so many times we hear messages, and we hear them all the time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, different things going out throughout the week, chapels. We hear things, but is our heart open to listen, amen, and to really understand what God wants us to learn? So I'm going to challenge all of us tonight, don't just hear the message, but listen. And ask God to open your heart now. And the Word of God is the Word of God. And we need to be very focused tonight on what God has for us. So allow me to pray, and then we'll get started. Father in heaven, we love you. And Lord, I certainly need you tonight. Father, I'd ask that you hide me behind the cross. Lord, I'm no worthy to be up here to preach your Word, Father. And God, I ask that you'd help me to be a blessing. That's my goal. To glorify thee. Lord, I'm not here to preach a good message. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just want to be a help to God's people tonight. And Father, I want to be able to preach the Word of God with authority as you would have me to preach it, Father. And Lord, at the same time, I want to honor you most of all. And Father, please take control of my heart and mine. I love you, Lord. It's been a wonderful relationship for 41 years. Thank you for saving me. I love you, my Father. Please help me, and help me to deliver your truth tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 22, and I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, verse 15 through 19. And as we read this, after we read, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little background, then we'll get right into the message tonight. 2 Kings 22, 15 through 19. The Bible says, "And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even as all the words of the book which King Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the words of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard." Here's our text verse tonight. "Because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, that hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." In this passage that we have in front of us in this time in Bible history, an 8-year-old boy named Josiah became king of Israel. It was a great king that started the revival of the Lord in this passage. And through his leadership, they began to repair the temple that had been wasting away. The high priest at the time was a man by the name of Hilkiah. And they went down to clear away the rubbish from the temple that was wasting away. Josiah felt a great responsibility to restore the word of God. And while cleaning it, you know the story, most of you do. The word of God was brought forth, and King Josiah was very excited about it. And the king asked the priests to go and pray to God to forgive the people for their sins and forsaking the Lord thy God. And because the book was lost, they were not obeying God and what God wanted them to do. And let me say this, that's why it's so important that we read the book, amen? The old black book, the King James Bible. And God wants us to focus and let the word of God dictate what we do and what we say. God says in verse 16 and 17 that God's people will be judged. We can look at that together and revisit those verses. "Thus saith the Lord, I will bring evil upon this place." He was not happy with them, "and upon the inhabitants thereof, even the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have," there it is, "forsaken me." By the way, when the word of God is not around, by the way, when the word of God is not obeyed, it's easy to forsake the Lord. The hearts of God's people were cold and hard. But there was something different about this 8-year-old boy. And by the way, God can use an 8-year-old boy. Amen. God can use young ones, old ones. It doesn't matter how old you are, God can use you. There was something different about Josiah, and that's where we are tonight in verse 19. The Bible says, "But because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humble thyself." By the way, you'll never humble yourself until your heart is tender. And this is what is said here. I want to go on record to say America has lost its tender heart toward God. It has. And become cold-hearted toward the Word of God. And this is what is happening to America. And by the way, just because it happens to the unsaved doesn't mean it has to happen to God's people. Hey, let's not lose our tenderness for God's word. Amen. Let's not lose our tenderness for the things of God again. And even though we say we're tired, and I understand that, hey, we don't have to become hard. Amen. Let's have tender hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was having a conversation years ago with a police officer. And he says, "You know, after being in the force for so many years, it's so easy to become hard and leave that way. You know, as a Christian, I want to live my race and finish my race, but I don't want to do it with a hard heart. I want to do it with a tender heart. Amen. By the way, when I show up to work in the morning, God knows this is true. I don't want to just do my job. I want to do it with the right heart and the right mind. I want to do it the way God would have me to do it. And by the way, He wants us to serve that way as well. He wants us to serve with a tender heart. Christians, today many have become cold and indifferent, but I'm so glad God is not that way. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 25, 6, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever old." Psalm 40, verse 11 says this, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." We live in a hard world. We live in a hard society. We have to be tough, and I believe we should be tough. And it's okay for God's people to be tough, but we're to not allow that toughness to make us hard. It's enough. It's good to be strong. Amen. And it's good to be tough, but let's not be hard. God commands us to be strong. God allows us to be tough. By the way, I was raised by a tough mom and a tough grandfather, World War II veteran. But I want to say this, God's people today, hey, let's be tough and let's be strong, but be careful not to allow that to dictate how we handle people and how we serve the Lord. Amen. We're not careful. If we're not careful, our hearts can become cold and uncaring. But how can it happen to a Christian? Very easily. I can remember being an assistant pastor when I was in Reno, Nevada. By the way, Ray was born in Reno, Nevada. I can remember the pastor there telling me, "Hey, listen, I want you to go soul winning several hours during the week. But as you go soul winning, I want you to visit the hospitals. And I want you to go soul winning in hospitals." Scared me to death. I don't know how to go soul winning in a hospital. I'm going to get kicked out. I don't know what I'm doing. So he trained me and he showed me how to do it. And after a few months, I began to ask him, "Why did you have me do that?" He said, "I had you do that because I wanted your heart to stay tender. Because you're dealing with people that are about to cross over to the other side, and I want your heart to stay tender." Let me say this today. Just because you serve the Lord, just because I serve the Lord, just because we're in a ministry, just because we're in a ministry like this, doesn't make our heart tender. By the way, as God's people tonight, let me ask you, is your heart tender? Is your heart tender toward God? Is your heart tender toward the Word of God? Is your heart tender toward your parents? Dear teenager, dear children, is your heart right with the Lord? By the way, when you hear the Word of God, is it ripe? Is it tender? Is it receptive? I want to challenge you tonight. Where's your heart? Is it right with God? Where's my heart? Is it right with God? By the way, I've always had this saying, I'm preaching to me first. I'm preaching to me first. And by the way, I don't think it'll hurt if we listen. If it's the Word of God, amen? Christians should be tender and tough at the same time. And if we're raised in a tough environment, many times I've met people before raised in a real tough environment. By the way, that never gives us an excuse to be hard with people or hard with the Word of God. God wants us to be tender in the things of God because we're dealing with people. Amen. Amen. That's why we're here, aren't we? Amen. It's okay to be strong, but let's not be hard. What is a tender heart? It's broken. Easily impressed, open, easily broken. Let me say today, I love to hear about the gospel. Amen. I love to hear about John 3:16. "And after 41 years of being saved, I haven't lost the wonder of it all. I still love the Lord and I still praise His name and I still shout and I still read and I still love soul winning." Why? Because I love God every day. And that's the way we ought to be as Christians. Don't lose the wonder of it all. Stay tender. Stay tender. One thing I've learned over the years, that if your heart your heart will not stay tender naturally. It will not stay tender naturally. The natural thing to do for an individual is to get hard. And I'll tell you what, soul winners, I'm talking to you for a moment. Soul winners, you know as well as I do, more will say no than say yes. More will say not interested than say, please talk to me about the gospel. And if you're not careful, it's easy to get hard. If you're not careful, it's easy to get hard. Well, there's problems in life. There's problems at work. There's problems at school. Whatever it is, let me say today, it's no excuse for the Christian to get hard. Amen. Stay tender. Stay tender. If you're going to keep and protect your heart, it must be done on purpose. Even though tough times come, you can keep a tender heart if it's done right. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A hard heart is something that we do to ourselves. Job 9:4 says this, he is wise in heart, mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself. We harden ourselves. No, my husband hardened me. My wife hardened me. My kids have done this to me. I've heard that before. This person did it to me. This person hurt me. This person ripped my heart out. No, ladies and gentlemen, today the Bible tells us it is something we do to ourselves when we allow the things of this world to permeate our heart in order to protect some pride or some arrogancy in our life. God says, listen, don't allow your heart to become hard. Stay tender. You know, we can smile. Amen. Praise be to God that we're saved. A hard heart is a choice. And there are people in life that have faced the exact same things you and I have kept over the years. Let me say this. I realized years ago that most kids today come from broken homes. And I mean most, it wasn't that way years ago, but it's that way now. Broken homes, one-parent homes. By the way, one-parent homes is a thing of the past. How about no-parent homes? And we've seen that. And let me say this, before we judge a kid, even at school, I ask God, Lord, please help me to do right by this child. Amen. Because I want to make sure I do it in love and truth. So what hardens a heart? Here it is tonight. Simple sermon. What hardens a heart? By the way, if my heart can be hardened, your heart can be hardened.
That's right.
Have you ever met a Christian who serves with a hard heart?
Yep.
Have you met a teenager that goes to school with a hard heart? I've seen it. I see it. You ever met a parent? Have you ever met somebody that has such a hard heart? Yes, they go soul winning. Yes, they serve the Lord. Yes, they come and help. But their heart is so hard. And you can see it. You can see it. What made Josiah special? God said, I'm not going to judge that king because his heart was tender. And he humbled himself. What hardens a heart tonight? Number one, I'd like to say disobedience. Disobedience. When a Christian is disobedient, anytime we say no to God and his word, our hearts get harder. Read the word of God. And we say, the more you say no to God, the harder your heart gets. You continually say no to what God is telling you to do and myself to do, and we get hard. This story of old rock star named Alice Cooper. I remember Alice Cooper. Son of a Baptist preacher. Powerful. Powerful. He never did anything he was taught in the church that he grew up in. His parents had plans for his life. He completely rebelled. I don't believe in what you're doing. And you know the story, Alice Cooper, one of the most evil men in rock and roll. Let me say today, don't think that you have a better plan than God does. Amen.
Don't think today that because you were raised in a Christian home that it all of a sudden makes your heart tender. Oh no, let me say this today, quite the opposite sometimes. Maybe we hear it over and over and over and over again and we say, all right, what's the next message? And nothing happens to us. I want to challenge us today. Are we obedient? And I want to say, if we're not obedient, your heart gets harder a little at a time. What else hardens our heart? How about unforgiveness? Unforgiveness. Turn with me to Matthew 19, if you would. Unforgiveness tonight. There's never a reason to be unforgiving. Amen. Amen. But what if they hurt me? Well, join the club.
Amen.
Join the club. You mean, Brother Rodriguez, people hurt you all the time. Amen. By the way, it doesn't give us a right to shoot arrows back at them. Amen.
Amen.
Unforgiveness, Matthew 19:8. For the sake of time, I'm going to read just portions of the scriptures tonight. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the what? Hardness of your heart, suffered to put away his what? Wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Let me mention something. Moses was a man of God that God used, but he still sinned.
Amen.
He still sinned. By the way, hard hearts don't communicate in relationships. And they don't. And I don't care if it's a teenager. I don't care if it's a home. I don't care if it's a marriage. Hard hearts don't communicate. One hard heart can destroy who? The whole family. Because it trickles down. And let me say this today. If we have something and ought against a brother or sister today, hey, let's get it right. Because it will harden not your heart. And it will harden, if I'm doing it, my heart. It's important for us to be people that are forgiving. By the way, if we won't forgive, maybe it's because of pride.
Amen.
Right. Maybe it's pride. I know a young lady that serves on staff in a distant state. Her parents were very abusive with her as a little girl. True story. Was on the news many years ago. Her parents would literally put her in a closet and they would treat her like an animal and they would beat her continuously and they'd throw her back in the closet. She would live that way and they'd give her crumbs to eat. Well, a few years passed by, one of the neighbors was tipped off about it. They found out. They called the police, arrested the girl, arrested the parents. They were put in jail. That young girl had so many problems coming out of that situation. Her speech was slurred. She had no her verbal skills were very weak. She was abused and used. Years later, she became interested in learning about God. She got saved as somebody talked to her about the gospel. And the guy that talked to her was actually a member of an independent fundamental Baptist church. That young girl got saved. And as she got right with God in her life, they asked her, "Do you hate your parents?" She said, "No. I don't hate them. I love my mom and dad." They said, "What about what she did to you?" She says, "I know what they did to me, but I love them." She said, "If God could forgive me, a wicked sinner, then I could forgive my parents for what they did to me."
Amen.
She was called to the ministry, full-time ministry. She serves on staff today, used of God in a great and mighty way. I know the family personally. Can I say this? There's nothing that's unforgivable. Amen. God wants us to forgive. And if we won't forgive, it's because of pride. Quickly today, is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone I need to forgive today? By the way, as a Christian, we're powerless. We're powerless, full of pride, if we won't forgive. Well, somebody hurt me years ago. What am I to do? And by the way, if it continues on and festers on and on, what happens is it hurts us. My dad was in prison most of his life. I didn't know him until just a few years ago. Hard man. Hard man. He called me. I used to pray for him. I had my family always telling me, you want nothing to do with him. He's a rotten man. You want nothing to do with him. God wanted me to pray for him, and I did. I prayed for him every day for many years. He called me a few years ago. He said, son, this is your dad. Son, I got saved. I'm out of prison now. I'm living for God, and I want to ask your forgiveness. Can I say this today? Forgive people.
Amen.
Forgive people. Amen. God forgave us. What else? And I hasten. How do we keep ourselves from getting a hard heart and keeping our heart tender? By the way, that's my goal. That's my goal, because I guarantee it, the harder your heart gets, the harder it's going to be to open the book, the harder it's going to be to open the hymn book and sing. By the way, let me say this even our children, our people today, we ought to be people that love to sing. It's evidence that your heart is open to God.
Amen.
Forgetting. I don't think Christians ought to forget. Amen. Forgetting. After Jesus rose from the dead, and I'm paraphrasing here, he asked, didn't you believe I rose from the dead, to his disciples? He said, don't you remember the miracles that I did? Don't you remember the times we had? In Mark 16:14, the Bible says, and afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Let me say this today. When a Christian forgets what God has done for them, even since day one, let me say today, it creates a hard heart. Don't forget when God saved you. Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget where you were.
Amen.
By the way, practice your testimony. Somebody said something about that earlier. Practice your testimony. This is where I was, and this is where God brought me from. Praise be to God. Let God give you the thoughts again of how sweet it was to serve him. Can I tell you what? The fun people to be around are new Christians. Amen. Why? It's all new to them. It's exciting to them. And those are the ones I love to be around many times, because God has done something wonderful in life. Can I say this? If your heart is not tender, it's just another sermon. It's just another service. It's just another activity. It's just another chapel. It's just another message. Let's get home. No. I hope when I hear the word of God every time, my heart is touched.
Amen.
By the way, I know we like to blame the preachers, but maybe it's us sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe it's us. Our heart's so hard. So hard. Jesus was saying, because you forgot what I did for you, your heart is hard. Do you remember who you were before you got saved? Do you remember what you were involved in before you got saved? Do you remember what God actually did for you before you got saved? Praise be to God. Forget, don't forget, or our hearts will harden. I'm going to give you another word today. How do you keep your heart from being hard? How do you keep your heart tender today? Can I say, not only as a Christian should we be obedient, amen, and not always as a Christian should we make sure that we are a forgiving person, as the word of God teaches us to be, not forgetting what God has done for us, amen. And by the way, all the great years of Pastor Carter and all the things that have happened here, hey, don't forget, it's a miracle church. Not a lot of churches like this. We've been around the country a little bit. I'm going to tell you right now. Not a lot.
It's hard to find a good church that believes the old black book. Amen. Amen. Respite. I'm going to give you kind of a layman's definition of the word respite. Exodus 8:15, the Bible says, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord hath said. Let me give you a layman's definition. When God keeps getting you out of trouble and you never learn. When God keeps getting you out of trouble and you never learn, that's respite. And can I tell you this? God is telling us today, as a Christian, our hearts were hardened, and if we never learn the first time or learn the second time, God says, I keep having to remind you of the same thing over and over and over again. And ladies and gentlemen, eventually our heart will get hard, and then it's hard to hear God again. It's hard to hear him. You know what happens when when you stop hearing God's voice? Let me help you. There's something coming that you don't want to be a part of, because God will get your attention. Amen. How about we go back to the road to Damascus? Amen. Amen. The road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul, he saw the persecution of God's people. He saw Stephen being stoned. He saw these things happen around him. God spoke to his heart over and over and over again until one day God said, all right, I've had enough. This is it. Talking's over. You ever say that, parents, to your kids? All right, talking's over. Action time. I have. Right, kids? All right, anyways. Respite. When God gets us out of trouble, it should humble us to get on our knees back in church. I want to be honest with you. I grew up old school. How many grew up old school? You know what I'm talking about. I didn't know what the word meltdown meant until I got older. You ever heard that word meltdown? I didn't know what that meant. Honest before God, I had no idea what that meant until I got older in the ministry. I had one meltdown in my life, one. And it wasn't on staff with Brother Pert, okay? All right. It wasn't. I don't think it was. Amen. I had one meltdown. I believe I was 6 years old, six, 7 years old. That's what my mom tells me. There was an old place called Kmart. Do you remember that place called Kmart? Amen. The blue light special. Amen. Love Kmart. Us poor folks, that's all we could afford. Kmart. Praise God for Kmart. Well, on Fridays, my mom would cash her check, and then she'd take me to Kmart usually. We'd go shopping. I was a little guy. And I remember I found a toy, lots of dollar toys at Kmart. We used to buy those G.I. Joes and the handcuffs and all that stuff and pretend I was a policeman and all that. And I remember my mom taking me, and I remember going to her and say, hey, listen, Mom, I want this toy. And I put it in the cart. I'll never forget what she said. She said, son, not today. Well, I didn't want to hear that, because I'm her son and she should know that I want that toy. Well, lo and behold, I bugged her about it about three times. I put it back in the cart. She took it out of the cart. I put it back in the cart. She took it out of the cart. She stopped the cart, and I fell on the ground, threw myself on the ground, and I had a meltdown. I'll never forget. My mom didn't scream. She didn't scream. She said, leave the cart there. She grabbed my hand. She walked me to the parking lot in the car, and she whipped my hide for about 10 minutes. I'll never, you know what? Real story. I never had a meltdown since. I don't even know what it was. And with old school parents, it was just a look. It wasn't an attitude. Having a bad attitude didn't exist. It was just a look.
And that's all it took. You know what? God wants us to listen the first time.
Amen.
And learn the first time. That's what respite means. My grandfather used to tell me, you make the mistake the first time, that's fine, but don't do it again.
Right.
I'm okay the first time, but don't you do that again, young man. Yes, sir. It's the way it was. It's the way it still is, by the way. Amen. All righty.
Amen.
You know, folks, I'm trying to get you to have a tender heart. How about testing? Go with me to Hebrews 3, and I'm just about done. Hebrews 3, I want to show you this. Hebrews 3. Serve the Lord with a tender heart, teacher, Christian, Sunday school teacher, preacher, young mom, dad. Serve the Lord with a tender heart. I want to be a tough guy. Amen. We should be a tough guy. But don't be a tough guy that doesn't have a tender heart. Be careful. A tender heart. Testing. Testing can make us hard. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. The Bible says, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear whose voice? His voice. Harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. Provocation is testing. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. How many years? 40 years. There is temptation for 40 years. Can I say this? When God's people are tempted, there's always a tendency to get hard. I wonder how many folks would admit tonight, and don't put your hands up, how many of us have been tempted this year and tested and tried in the fire? And by the way, if you haven't been tried in the fire, just wait. It's coming. I've been around the ministry long enough, and I'll tell you right now, if you think you've suffered before, things are coming that you don't know about. You know, I thought when you graduated high school, everything got easier. Wrong. Gets harder.
Amen.
And it's tough. I thought when you turn 50, I turned 50 2 years ago, do the math, all right? I thought when you turn 50, you started feeling better physically. But I was wrong. Now my bones ache. And there's other things you don't want to know about. And it's tough. There's testing. A heart cannot be taken, it must be given. That's why the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. As a Christian, as a dad tonight, one thing I pray for, and I pray this every day, and God knows this, I pray that my kids would have a tender heart. Hey, listen, we're not trying to impress anybody. We don't want to impress anybody. We just want to have a tender heart, because as long as they have a tender heart, they will be able to hear God's voice.
Amen.
That's what our prayer is. Ezekiel 36, 26, the Bible says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Let me say today, as a Christian, God promises if we want, he'll change the heart of a stony heart to a heart of flesh, which is a tenderized heart. Oh God, never let me get too proud where I don't hear the voice of God and I don't cry. By the way, it's okay to cry sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
And the last one, I'm all done, is pride. Pride. Pride is the enemy we all fight.
Right.
Isn't it not?
Yes, sir.
It's the enemy we all fight. Oh, my goodness. I am scared of pride. Because I know what it can do to me. And what it can do to you. What is pride? Pride is thinking we are, possess, or have accomplished anything without Him. I watch people in life take the credit for what God has done. Pride is the termites in the house of our life. It is the hand grenade inside the tent where we live. It will destroy us. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Luke 18:11 says, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, self-righteous. By the way, if we're anything for God, it's because of Him. Amen. He's done it all. Well, I have. These are the things I've accomplished through the years. No, you haven't. Job 41:34 says He is a king over all the children of pride. That's talking about Satan. By the way, anytime pride reigns in our hearts, Satan is our king. There are times in my life, I must confess tonight before I go and I'll close my Bible. There are times in my life where pride seeps in. Am I alone tonight? Amen? Amen. Not me. Yeah, you too. I don't care how long you've been in the ministry. I don't care what church you grew up in, what family you grew up in. I don't care how much Bible you know. Pride is the enemy within. Would you examine your heart tonight and say, God, am I full of pride? Search me, O God, is what David said, and know my thoughts. What was he saying when he made that statement in the book of Psalms? He was saying, I don't know everything myself. You got to tell me what I don't know. Amen. Amen. Because I don't know how bad I really am. And I come before you as a preacher tonight telling you, I don't know how bad I really am. I need God to tell me. Amen. Well, I have these degrees. And I've done a few things. And I know a few things. It's dangerous when you think that way. It's by the Lord's mercies that we have anything tonight. My Heavenly Father, I love Him, and without Him, I can do nothing. I wonder how many of you tonight would be honest before a holy God and say, God, my heart isn't what it used to be. When was the last time you came before an old-fashioned altar? The way America used to fix their problems, and I've read the books, and I've talked to the preachers, the old-time preachers, is they'd come to services like this on Sunday night. By the way, people used to come to church on Sunday. You know, I'm a baseball fan. I have a baseball encyclopedia. You know what I've read through the encyclopedia? And I've read this for years, and I always wondered how this worked. Professional ball games used to end at midnight many times, and they wouldn't finish the game. Why? Because church was the next day. And even professional ball players went to church. That's the way our country used to be. I wonder today, are we willing to put everything aside? Amen. Ask God to reveal the pride in our heart. And maybe our heart is hard. By the way, even if you think it's not hard, isn't it worth finding out? Isn't it worth saying, God, please forgive me. I want my heart to be more tender than it ever was. Amen. And as Pastor Parsons and other men of God preach up here, let's ask God to tenderize our heart so we can hear the voice of God. Amen. And we can obey Him. And we can allow God to do things through our lives. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed,
Heavenly Father, I do not stand up here trying to hurt God's people. I just sense you want God's people to get a tender heart again. When's the last time you came to an altar and wept for your children? Maybe you got wayward children, a wayward grandchild. It's the last time we came forward and say, God, please change my heart. Change my family's heart. Change America. Please do a miracle. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if God has spoken to you, by the way, if you're here today and God has spoken to you about getting saved, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. You come forward today and let God have somebody show you from the Bible how to get to heaven. Whatever God's speaking to you about, the altar's open. Let's stand to our feet as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily live, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender.
Thank you, Brother Rodriguez. Awesome message. I think we can all benefit from that. Amen. You know, so many Christians today have let the world steal their joy. Amen. Harden our hearts, because that's what happens.